go someplace where I can be a woman.
You know what? You got spunk.
Well,
I hate spunk.
This is Two J's in a Pod. J would be journalist. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy from WGHN Radio.
And I'm Sarah Leach from the Ottawa News Network.
And our producer, Dirk, is here. Hi, Dirk.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Everybody's well.
You have such a soft voice. I have to like.
You never know he's here.
I know. I have to like boost your levels. Okay, here we go. Okay, all right.
We used to have a girlfriend then.
Wow, real talk with Dirk.
Oh my goodness. I have to tell you, Sunday, I live in Grand Rapids. We had the alarms were going off on Sunday. Mm. So we go down to the basement. I'm down there with the dog, and James is like, you got to go. Is it the southwest corner? It's the southeast or southwest corner. I'm there all by myself. He's upstairs gathering all of his guitars. That's what he brought downstairs, his guitars, and the dog, and me.
You know, we have a tornado siren pole on our street, and I explained to the kids, because I was home with the kids that night, so and I cracked the window a little bit, because I was nervous, but I didn't want to make them nervous.
Yeah.
So I just said, don't worry, you know, if you hear the siren go off, then the plan is, you know, you each grab a cat, because we have three cats for three kids, and they're fat, and they can't run very fast.
There
so they're
go.
Easily, you know, pick-upable, and then we will go downstairs and it'll be fine. But it's hard when you're kind of like you yourself know the danger, but you don't want to, you know, freak them out. And it turned out to be fine. But yeah,
right.
The whole time I'm kind of like just keeping a nervous eye on the window.
It
and then I had
something.
A nightmare that night
that
a tornado actually hit.
Oh, no.
yeah.
I was
hashtag mom problems.
I was once left in a trailer with radio equipment during the Ann Arbor Art Fair during a tornado. My program director decided to take the part-timer Leslie for a drink at a local bar. Left me alone in this trailer. Sirens are going off. I'm in this trailer during the Ann Arbor Art Fair. Everybody's gone. Everybody took off. It's rain. It was horrible. And he's at a bar having a drink with a part-timer.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I told you my tornado story, right?
What?
From 2010,
no.
When I was working at the Grand Rapids Press, I think.
Yes, you did.
I think I'll briefly breeze through it for the readers, just since we're on the topic. But I was driving home from the Grand Rapids Press. I was on the night desk.
Yeah.
And so this is like 2 a.m, and we had a series of storms that summer, and it's pouring down, you know, buckets, and I'm just trying to get home because I lived in Muskegon at the time. And one of my coworkers who had left a little earlier than me called me and said, "If you're on the highway right now, which is 96, get off." So I just pull off at the closest exit, which I believe was in Marne. I get to this gas station. The lights are on. It's clearly open. I run up to the door. It's locked.
Oh, God.
And another couple gets out, has the same, you know, idea. They're trying to take shelter, too. And
this
I noticed,
is in Marne?
This is in Marne.
There's nothing in Marne.
And I've never been at this
you
gas
never went
station.
Off,
I've never gotten off this exit.
Oh, no.
I have no idea who these people are.
You don't know where you're at.
I just know that I'm in, like, some weird, like, you know, worst-case scenario. And I'm like, do we stop, drop, and roll? I don't understand, like, what we're supposed to be doing right
no.
now. Like, going back to grade school, you know, like, teachings. Like, do we find a ditch? And so this couple, this very lovely young couple and I, we realized that the staff at the gas station had probably taken shelter because that's, you know, it's explosive material at the gas station.
Yeah.
So we run next door to a motel.
Yeah, that's not a hotel over there. That's
that is a motel,
motel
because you're not moving, you know, away. You're there to live. And we're just banging on doors.
Are you serious?
And this one woman opens up her door, and she clearly lives there. And her all I remember is that her name was Kathy. She was a chain smoker, and she had a parrot. So here we are. I don't even remember who this couple was. I bummed a cigarette off of Kathy. I didn't even smoke. I because I was like, I mean, it was like a smoke 'em if you got 'em kind of a scenario, you know. And we all watched the television, and it ended up being fine. But I mean, I could feel my ears popping like it. And the next day, there was a tornado that touched down within a mile of where we were at.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny, not funny. Sunday, was it Sunday night? Yeah. All the Trumpers cosplaying as meteorologists, sharing all this information. And what they don't realize is that they have that information because of services such as NOAA and things like that.
Oh,
and
they were all. See, I thought that all of this was happening because we were like, you know, poisoning the clouds. But I.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's. Yeah. Yeah. It was just so funny to me. And I just thought, okay, stop playing. You're not a meteorologist. Just stop.
I love it when everybody just like, it's like that one uncle that's always an expert on everything.
Just shut up.
I had a girl that I worked with once, and I won't name her, but anytime you brought up any topic,
she knew everything.
She knew some sort of historical
fact. Shut up!
And she's like, you know, the forks were derived from the Roman time. And it's like, would you shut up and let me eat? I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. I will say this, and I have pneumonia right now, so I'm on all these this medicine. I wasn't able to go to the town hall in Grand Haven, but Rep. Skolten did take the time to speak with a friend of mine. He is a meteorologist. His name is Mike Jukes, and he is in a wheelchair, and he managed to make it to the meeting.
Oh, yeah, I saw him.
Yes, but she did take the time to, you know, she saw him in the crowd to speak with him, and he was able to voice his concerns mm-hmm. about NOAA and all this other stuff going on because he's a meteorologist. He does weather for us on the weekends here, and, you know, he does a great job. He doesn't work for a TV station. It's just something he does, and, you know, I just thought it was interesting. Everybody was playing meteorologist on Sunday night. You know, you were at the Grand Rapids Town Hall. That's why I left early, because I wasn't feeling well.
I was at both.
You were at both.
And it's a different vibe between the two crowds.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, I mean, Grand Rapids is, you know, kind of like more of her core district, I would say.
Okay.
It was more, I don't know if aggressive is the right word. They were just more... You know, we don't want it. We don't want diplomacy. We don't want to negotiate with the Republicans. We want action now. You know, the next election isn't fast enough. I mean, it was just like shouts from the crowd.
Wow.
It was that kind of energy.
Okay.
And so in Grand Haven, it's a little bit more laid back.
Okay.
You know, I think that they still had the same. They've voiced the same, questions and concerns about all the same topics. But it was not quite that. I don't know. Like, you're not giving us a good enough answer. That was kind of, you know, at times there was definitely that vibe in the Grand Rapids crowd.
What are people getting from these town halls?
Well, they do get, I mean, look, I work in media, right? And, and long time I was an editor, and I dealt with a lot of complaints. And I think that fundamentally human beings, and we've talked about this before, they just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just need a minute to just unload on you. And sometimes you just have to let them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is a good vehicle for that. But we're also seeing, you know, Republican leadership is telling a lot of the House Republicans to not have town halls, just to do tele-town halls so that you can control what questions that you're taking, what you're answering, what narrative you're putting out there, because, you know, they know that some of the things that are going on in Washington with Doge and Elon Musk are
mm-hmm.
unpopular with some of the programs, and people are really nervous. And they probably don't have all the answers, and they might be nervous themselves, so they don't want to, you know, give an answer that they don't want to commit to, you know? They don't want to, you know, do a misstep. So I understand it to a certain level, but as you watch the frustration ratchet up, and then the Democrats said, well, hold our beer, we'll do town halls. So now they're taking advantage of that political
mm-hmm.
moment, and they're showing up, capitalizing on some of that frustration and anger.
Bill Huizinga, was that just a photo op last week?
Yeah, I don't know if you watched some of the video.
A little bit.
I mean, he... you know, somebody in the crowd said, well, I don't like that you called us a liar because I'm not paid. I'm not a paid partisan to come here and, you know, protest in front of your office and you know, and capitalize on this. And you know, Huizinga says, I never said that. Yeah, 100% he did. His office put out statements about it. So it's frustrating to kind of watch some of those, those things where, you know, I said it, but I'm not going to own it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always frustrating to watch.
I had Josh Brueger, Ottawa County Commissioner and Board Chair, in the studio today.
Vice Chair.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I will edit this.
It's okay.
I do it every time. We spoke about Joe Moss being at Grand Valley State University, and we spoke about the letter that he had sent.
Yeah, this is a wild one.
Well, I told him, I said, listen, no more slap on the hands. He needs to be held accountable for this because people are sick of it.
Well,
but now I've got, and I'm going to turn the coin on that, but say what you want to say, and then I'm going to flip the coin because I had something in my head.
I'm really struggling with this one because, I know.
What's the struggle?
I know. It seems so straightforward. Well, maybe because I've just been in it for so long, but I understand that you know, he went to GVSU's campus. Mm-hmm. He had a concealed pistol mm-hmm. on him. People noticed it. It was a thing. Mm-hmm. Now he sent a letter to the GVSU president mm-hmm. and asked for some policies to be changed, including sure. revoking their DEI yeah. policy and amending their weapons-free policy so that he can have a concealed pistol on his person.
Sure.
So a couple of things. One is it's a little obnoxious to say, please change the rule because I don't feel like following it. There's also the matter of him putting this letter on Ottawa County letterhead.
Right.
That is the big controversy right now, and whether or not that is a violation of board rules.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at the traditional Republicans that are in charge of the county commission right now. Mm-hmm. And yes, I agree that Moss is sort of poking until, you know, he gets a reaction. But the problem is that he wants that reaction. So do you play into it because you have to and then give him that political moment? Because really, this is an opportunity for him to rally his base with a wedge
That's
issue.
That's all this is.
With a wedge issue so that he can get, you know, the county GOP, you know, right. leadership to again show up at a meeting. And, you know, and then they're going to do some sort of resolution.
He's got his eyes on Lansing.
Anyone who doesn't agree with him. I mean, yeah. it's just the whole thing all over again.
I know.
It's just kind of like rote at this point. But it also allows them to carry forward that energy longer and longer. And that's what they have to do, is find opportunities like this to keep this energy going. Because, one, you can't recall anybody until a year into a four-year term. You can't recall somebody in their first or last year of a four-year term. You okay. can only do it within the two middle years. Now, okay. when they were two-year terms, it was 6 months. It was the first 6 months and the last,
and
6 months,
last
6 months, because it's a
okay.
shorter time okay. span. So they have to keep that energy going if that's their strategy,
okay.
or they got to keep it going for 4 years until the next election, which is a tall order.
Okay. I thought of something after Josh left. Joe was in the news almost every week for two full years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not in the news anymore.
That's true.
So now he has to make news in order to be in the news?
Well,
some people believe that.
Yeah, and I've been having some conversations either, you know, with staff or a couple of commissioners just to see, okay, well, where are you landing on this? And mm-hmm. it's kind of all over the place.
It is.
There's no real consensus about, you know, and only some of them are talking to others. And don't worry, there's no weird quorum thing going on.
No.
But it's just they're kind of like really doing a gut check about how, you know, because this could turn into yet another thing where there's this opportunity for Moss to dominate the headlines and hijack the regular business of mm-hmm. the board. Mm-hmm. And now we're still getting distracted from county governance. And one thing that that I just kind of casually mentioned to somebody yesterday, I said, well, we've seen, you know, Moss and his OI majority take advantage of the loopholes that are within the current policies and procedures and norms. Now we're seeing him in the minority doing the same thing.
Right.
So how do you handle that? I mean, you have to navigate that. And I think that, you know, again, we were expecting some of this, but when it turns into reality, we don't necessarily know how to handle it.
Yeah, you're right. And then some say, you know what, don't say anything at all.
Well,
does
that tacitly like kind of give approval to the behavior? Like, and then does everybody start sending like letters on county letterhead? I mean, that's the point. It's like it's almost like a.
It's not going to stop.
Not to kind of like, you know, bring this to a level it doesn't necessarily need to go, but it's almost like when you're in a parenting moment and you're trying to decide what, you know, how far to go with.
That's exactly
with
what
disciplinary
it is.
Measures
right.
for a kid who breaks the rules. You know, do you not say anything, which kind of like it sort of condones the behavior and you're worried that they're going to do it again? Or do you go, you know, how far is too far? You have to evaluate, like, you know, what is appropriate mm-hmm. in the situation and with the person. And that's difficult to do when it's not just one person, but a whole body of people that have to deal with this one individual.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Wow, the amount of time we spend talking about him, I mean, honestly, for crying out loud.
Well, and I think that it's anger is the easiest emotion that any human can tap into, right? So when we see something that is upsetting, anger is the knee-jerk reaction.
That's true.
When we don't agree with it, when we find
yeah.
it upsetting. I'm trying to challenge listeners to hopefully kind of think through some of the deeper points about...
Okay.
You know, Teeples is not in a very good situation here because it's sort of a no-win. Because if he gives this a platform and confronts the behavior, which I do ultimately agree something needs to be, you can't just not talk about it. You have to talk about it somehow. I don't know exactly what that solution is. Do you amend board rules? There was a there was a process a couple of years back where if a board member had some sort of perceived misconduct, then they would meet with the board chair and the vice chair privately to sort of hash it out. If that was unproductive, then you could move forward with a censure. Those are you know, tools that are available to the board, but we've seen how overused they've been. And so does anyone want to see, you know, anyone else get censured? I mean, there's been like 4,000 censures through the GOP and it's, you know, and through the board itself in the past 2 years. It's just kind of loses its luster and its power when it happens so often.
You and I are taking a road trip. We're going to need the energy of Cory Booker to do that because we're flying. Well, here's the thing.
Do I have to fast the day before?
No. But I'm traveling, and then I'm going to be with my family. Then I'm going to come get you, and then we're going to go down to Cleveland at this conference for the Society of Professional Journalists.
We're going to be driving 7 hours in one day.
I understand
it's insanity.
That, right? It's total insanity.
Yeah.
Do you think Cory Booker's sleeping right now?
I would. Yeah. I mean, I would be solidly. I would be riding the melatonin wave right now if I ran.
Melatonin wave. That's so funny. The melatonin wave. I haven't been on spring break in so long, but you know, I was thinking back in 1981, my mom let me go to Daytona Beach with eight girls.
Really?
Eight girls, one hotel room.
And so, any adults?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
And you came back?
I don't even know. And I'm trying. And so I think it was four to a bed. And then, like, if you got mad at one of the girls, you could make her sleep on the floor. I don't know. I know one person was in the tub. There was eight of us in this really cheesy hotel in Daytona Beach, 1981.
And how old are you?
I was turning 18 in June.
Oh, my. You weren't even 18?
I had fake ID.
Okay. All right.
I did. Sure. I had fake ID.
Yeah.
But can you imagine? I would never let my daughters do that. And I said, Mom, I would say to my mom, what were you thinking? She's like, everybody did it like that. What was I supposed to do? Not let you go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was like before Natalie Holloway. Yeah.
I mean, so yeah. So, you know, you've got kids. You'll be going on a spring break. So good for you.
Yeah. Different vibe.
Well,
Grandma's taking us to Disney World and I just need to make it through every day because it's a different experience when you're the parent. And you're not I'll have fun.
Oh, you're going to have a great time.
But it's also stressful.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you got three kids, three different ages. They're all interested in different things.
Different...
The lines are long. It's hot. It's
I wonder if your younger one might even take a nap. You never know. I mean, you just don't know.
She won't.
She won't take a nap.
No, just
to you need
me.
To take a nap.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Mama needs a nap.
Yeah, you do.
I'll bring the melatonin.
I'm telling you. Oh, God, I love Disney, but it is very stressful. So we will check in when you're on spring break. I do want to ask, though, when you are in vacation mode, do you still like listen to the news and do all that? Or do you completely check
it's
out?
It's unavoidable. I mean,
it is unavoidable,
you know,
isn't it?
I have a bunch of, you know, news alerts on my phone. I have five different emails that are programmed to my phone, including my kids' school emails, because I have to keep them on track with a bunch of stuff with school and everything. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, you just, we're master multitaskers. I mean, that's the job, right?
It is the job. What else are you working on? You're going on, but are you working on anything for this week?
I am just wrapping up a story about the contract for CMH director Michael Brashears.
Mm-hmm.
There are some questions about the way that this process happened. This contract was, when we last left our heroes, CMH director Lynn Doyle, longtime director, she retired in May of 24. She did take an extensive medical leave at the beginning of the year and was unable to return. So the county was still under OI control and the board majority, and they controlled the various subcommittees and stuff too. So they tapped former director Michael Brashears, who was actually the CMH director before Doyle.
Right, right.
And brought him back to be the interim. Then they opted to not do an expansive search. They said he did it before, he can do it again.
Okay.
We're satisfied. So then they appointed him to the full-time role in July of 24. The problem is that this contract, there was a resolution that was passed that authorized board chair Gretchen Cosby, who was an OI commissioner who did not get reelected in, she actually lost her primary in August of last year.
Mm-hmm.
She made the motion to approve this, but they only approved a 5-year term and that the chair was authorized to execute the contract. They never discussed compensation, and they never discussed any other aspects or details of the contract, and the board members never saw the contract.
What?
So,
oh dear.
I am publishing a story.
I know you've been working on it for a long time.
I know,
because we talked off the record about it.
And it took a long time. I had to, you know, FOIA for a bunch of old contracts.
Right?
I had to, you know, and it took a long time to get, you know, some people to talk to me about, you know, because they realized the optics of what this looks like. I don't know if this contract is legally binding or if the county has to review it. That's the problem, is that I don't really know what this means.
Okay, speaking of Dr. Michael Brashears, what is this Partners with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, Disability Network, Lakeshore, and West Michigan Disability Awareness Resource Team at the Ottawa County Administration Building in the main conference room? Dr. Michael Brashears will be participating in a panel discussion from 10 to noon. You know anything about this?
I don't, but not that one specifically, but I know this is just after he was in Lansing talking about Medicaid funding, and this is... all kind of tied, you know, this, it doesn't help that right now we have a major Medicaid funding crisis. We've talked about that before, where, you know, people are kind of falling off the rolls post-COVID. And so with that goes the dollars that are attached to them. And in the backdrop, you've got, you know, the Trump administration potentially cutting Medicaid funding across the board to states. So it's sort of thrown this whole thing into a tailspin. And the problem is that if somebody qualifies for Medicaid services, you have to serve them. Sometimes you operate at a deficit, and the money's got to come from somewhere. And so there's no long-term solution right now. And that's something that Brashears has been, you know, kind of very vocal about since he got back. And I want to be clear, I don't have anything, you know, personally against Brashears, but my job as a journalist is to sort of make sure that these processes and procedures, including contracts and approvals, happen, you know, appropriately. And it's my job to, you know, look at that, analyze it, ask a lot of questions, and make sure that everything is done right.
Okay, very good. Okay. Mallory McMorrow, she announced today that she's going to run for Gary Peters' seat.
Yes, the worst kept secret in politics. I mean, we all knew that she was going to do it. I think that that's probably why Haley Stevens has not thrown her hat into the ring, is because I think McMorrow, when she made her intentions known, I think that made a couple of other key Democrats, including Pete Buttigieg, back off of that consideration. So it's going to be an interesting race. I'm curious to see if any other Democrat is going to step in to really give her a run for her money in the primary.
Yeah.
I don't think so at this point, but anything's possible.
Should be interesting. I love her voice. I told her on Instagram that she should do a podcast. I love her voice. She has such a unique voice, like your voice. I could listen to it all day long.
I think my S's sound really
your
weird.
S's are not
I cannot
weird.
Stand the sound of my voice.
Well, just
I
ask
really
Dirk. I can't say rural. So, the rural juror.
I can't.
Rural. Remember we would write it out? Rural. I can't say it.
Rural.
Rural. The rural.
It's going to be okay.
Dirk, do you want to say anything?
Rural.
We're out. Oh, if you want to watch something about rural America, you can find it on the Principia Media YouTube page, Route to Elsewhere, a film that Dirk wrote and made, and I narrated. So there you go. He's shaking his head. This is a podcast. If you shake your head, nobody can hear you.
I'm thinking we're video now.
He doesn't want to talk.